Thank you so much. And you guys, you can go ahead and turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 is where we're going to be today. 1 John chapter 2. And our text is going to be verses 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. So here's a question that I want us to think about as you're turning there and getting ready for the message. How can you tell if someone knows God? Think about that. How can you tell if someone knows God? How can you tell? How can you be sure if someone really knows God? Is it because they tell you that they know God? Or are there specific things you can look at and say that person knows God? Or maybe it's asking yourself, do I know God? How do I know that I know God? Well, our text this morning gives us a very clear answer. You see, John is writing because he wants his readers to be sure of something. He doesn't want them kind of floating around doubting and wondering if they know and belong to God. He wants his readers to know. He specifically says it in multiple ways in this letter. He even says toward the end, I'm writing these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. So the point of him writing this letter is he wants those born of God to know that they have eternal life. You know, a lot of people think today that you can't really No. You can guess. You can maybe suppose. You can maybe almost be sure. But can you really have assurance that you know? Or can you be sure of someone else if they know God? And we have the answer for us in our text this morning. The title of today's sermon is The Moral Test. The moral test, knowing God by keeping His commandments. The moral test, knowing God by keeping His commandments. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. Father, grant us in our time together in the Scriptures, grant us clarity and deep certainty on whether or not we know You. Not based on the judgment of man, not based on a decision in our past, but grant us to know that we know You or not, according to what You say in the text. Help us to see. Help us to clearly sense if we are an obedient people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how can we tell if someone knows God? One of the answers from the text, there's at least three. Two are very similar. Number one, obeying His commandments. That's how you can know if someone knows God. Not they tell you that they know God. That's not enough. John says that. He says, listen, somebody can tell you, I know God. But if they do not keep his commandments, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. So the way you and I examine ourselves and others with regards to do we know God is whether or not we keep his commandments. That's the test. There's a moral test, so to speak, of knowing that you know God. You either keep his commandments, therefore giving the believer assurance that they do know God, or looking at another believer's life and they're keeping the commandments and they're knowing God, or we're faced with the reality of not knowing God if we do not see that we or others keep his commandments. Now, there are some other tests in the letter that John addresses and readdresses, okay? So throughout these five chapters, he addresses and readdresses at least three different tests on our knowing God. The first is the moral test, which we'll be looking at today. The second is a doctrinal test, what we believe about the person and work of Jesus Christ matters whether or not we know God. And then the love test. Do we love the brothers? Because if we hate our brothers, we cannot know and love God. The love of God does not abide in us, John says. So those are the three tests he addresses and readdresses all throughout the letter. The moral test, the doctrinal test, who is Jesus? The love test. Do we love the brothers and sisters? So today, we really look at the moral test. How do we know if someone knows God? They keep his commandments. The love of God is perfected in them, and they walk as Jesus walked. So three things from the text show us whether or not we or others know God. What are they? Obeying his commandments. The love of God being perfected in our lives and walking as Jesus walked. That is the test. Now, here's the thing when we look at the test. It is not A, B, C, D, E, F. There's no E, obviously, but there's not a grading scale, so to speak, when it comes to this test. It is pass or fail. John is so black and white in this letter. It's light and darkness. It's practicing sin and practicing righteousness. It's loving your brother or hating your brother. He's so clear cut. So for John and writing to these readers and these gathered believers, God speaking to us in sacred scripture, we can know with some certainty whether or not we know God, and it is the love of God's perfected in us. We walk as Jesus walked, and we keep his commandments. So first, two things really that we'll unpack today. Number one, obedience is the test for knowing God. Obedience is the test for knowing God. Number two, obedience evidences and expresses a maturing love for God. So obedience is the test for knowing God. Obedience evidences and expresses the maturing love for God. Another way to say it would be, if we lovingly obey, we are assured that we're in Him. If we lovingly obey, we can be assured that we are in Him based on what God says in the text. Or, if we do not lovingly obey, we have no solid ground of assurance that we are in Him. If you and I cannot examine our lives and find obedience, then you and I have no assurance that we know God. But that's not what I've been taught my whole life. That's what this text says. It's just what it says. It's what God says. that we do a self-examination, and that when we're considering brothers and sisters, our knowing God, if there is loving obedience, we can have assurance that we're in Him. If there is not loving obedience, we have no assurance on solid ground that we are in Him. So if it comes down to keeping His commandments, as the text says, keeping His word is another way He says it. What is obedience? Or obey what? Now, William led our kids astray this morning. Right? He's a nice guy, nice looking guy, great personality. Obviously, he's much more fun than I. He led our children astray. He just led them astray. Why? I told the kids what to do. Right? I gave them the commandment. Here's the command, kids. Follow me. Do what I say. Someone else comes along, they just totally forsake their pastor. Riley totally forsakes her dad. But I know she still loves me, so we're okay. And I like your little smile you got going on right there. Obey what? From the text, we obey His commandments. That's what we obey. We obey not the world. We obey not what we think is right in a particular setting or situation. We obey His commandments. Now, which commandments? Because there's a bunch, right? All of them? Or just talking about a couple right here? Or, well, let's look at that, okay? Obey His commandments. Commandments in what kind of way? Well, there's God's moral law that's clearly revealed in the Ten Commandments, right? Clearly acceptable in God's eyes, the moral law He gave, the Ten Commandments. Have no other gods before Him, no idols, don't take His name in vain, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, honor your father and mother, don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, don't lie, don't commit adultery. These commandments we are to keep. But it's not just that we keep or try to keep the Ten Commandments. What do we see in the New Testament? Jesus says, I'm going to tell you the two greatest commandments. So you've got ten and you got two. Jesus says the greatest, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two, all of the law and prophets depend. So we've got ten that we know are pleasing to God's sight and do well for us to keep those, yes? We have two that Jesus says that are the greatest, loving God with all that we are, loving our neighbor as ourselves. And then there's one particularly that Jesus introduces in the Gospel of John and that it's very particular to John's letter here, and it is that we love one another. So you got 10-2-1. All throughout this letter that we love one another, that we really do care, that we love the way Jesus loves. You see this in different passages in the Gospel of John and in the letter to John. Listen to this. This is after the washing of the feet in the upper room. John 13:34, a new commandment, Jesus says, I give to you, that you love one another. Later on in John 15:12, this is my commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. Later in the same letter, chapter 3:11, we have, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Chapter 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So we obey what? These commandments that God has given in the Scripture that Jesus has summarized and reintroduced. We obey the commandments. We obey them. We obey because we know Him, and we know Him because we obey. I'll say that one more time. We obey because we know Him. We know Him because we obey. You see, if we know God, if we really know Him, if we know who He is in His personhood, if we know the perfection of His person and His ways, if we know His character, if we know that He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, if we know God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting our trespasses against us, if we know God, that will propel obedience from us. We obey because we know Him. We know God, therefore we obey. Obedience is propelled from our knowing our Father who loves us. But it's also that we know God because we obey. We walk in the light as He is in the light. As we obey, as we walk in the light, what happens? We see clearly. So in this abiding, in this walking in the light, in this obedience, our knowing becomes deeper. So obeying produces a deeper knowing of God, and knowing God propels further obedience. Obey how? Lovingly and fully. You see that in the text. You obey lovingly and fully. Lovingly from the heart. Verse 5, whoever keeps His word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. So in the one obeying God, the love of God is perfected. So this love of God that is poured out and shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, what does it do? It leads us to lovingly obey Him. Now, not lovingly obey Him sometimes, but it's to obey Him how? Lovingly and fully. Because He says in verse 6, walk in the same way in which He walked. We know that Jesus was without sin. His entire life, sinless, perfect obedience before the Father. So we are called to a full obedience. All of life for all of Christ. So we obey what? The commandments. We obey how? Lovingly and fully, walking as He has walked. John is also going to tell us in chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So we lovingly and fully obey, and we obey with His commandments not being burdensome to us, but we do it with a heart of love and fullness and gratefulness. On what basis do we obey? On what basis? Well, I've got a few things. What prompts and who is able, on what basis do we obey and keep His commandments? Because this is a pretty big deal, right? It's assurance of whether or not we know God. You obey and have assurance that you know Him. You do not obey, you don't have assurance that you know Him. So clear cut. So on what basis do we obey? On the basis of the new covenant and on the basis of the perfect obedience of Christ. First, the new covenant. I'd like for you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 11. Now you're thinking, Ezekiel, oh my goodness, what in the world? Nobody ever talks about Ezekiel, and if they do, it's like the Valley of the Dry Bones, and that's not where I'm going. Okay, so Ezekiel chapter 11, and in chapter 36, we have this talk of the new covenant. Now the new covenant is something new, better, different, fuller, based on better, fuller promises and a full sacrifice that is coming, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. So God is telling His people that He will establish and bring about a new covenant so that they may be His people, that He may be their God in a new kind of way. So God's doing something new in a new covenant with the people. He's giving this word through the prophets in the Old Testament, proclaiming that there is coming a day when there's a new covenant that will be established. We know that the new covenant was established by whom? Jesus in the upper room. This is my body, broken, given for you. This is the blood of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus in the upper room says, this is my body, this is my blood of the new covenant. And then His death, His body, His blood, His resurrection. This new covenant is established. It's accomplished. God said He was going to bring about a new covenant. Jesus accomplishes the new covenant so that it can be a reality in our lives. So what does this new covenant and obedience look like? Where are you going with this? Look in chapter 11. We'll start in 17 through 20. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. When they come in, they will remove from it all detestable things and all its abominations. Now listen to verse 19. I will give them one heart, a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove their heart of stone from their flesh. I will give them a heart of flesh that... So he's given them a new heart. Why? Verse 20. That they may walk in my statutes, keep my rules, and obey them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Covenant language. So God is going to do something new. What is it? Heart surgery. That's what he's going to do. He says, I'm going to take the heart of stone and rebellion and corruption and deadness out of you. He says, and I'm going to give you a new heart, and this new heart is going to cause you to do something. What? To obey and keep his rules, statutes, and commandments. Did you see it? Heart surgery brings about obedience, God says. Who's the one doing the heart surgery? Who's the surgeon? God himself, at the cost of his son, produces a new covenant people. They will be my people. I will be their God. This new heart and a new spirit within them, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my rules, and obey them. He says something very similar in Ezekiel 36, just a couple chapters later. Listen to this. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 28. 25 through 28. Almost verbatim, little different, but same point. Listen. 36, 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. Now listen. 26. I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You hear it? Same thing. Says it twice through the prophet. There's coming a day when I'm going to do heart surgery and gather a new people unto myself, Jew and Gentile, on the basis of the blood and righteousness and body of Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. He says, I'm going to take the heart out of rebellion and hardness and stubbornness and deadness that doesn't give a rip about God or his ways. He says, I'm going to take that out, and I'm going to give you a heart that sees and that loves, that trusts, that treasures. And this new heart, I'm also going to put my spirit within you, Ezekiel 36. What's going to happen with a new heart? What's going to happen with the Spirit of God in somebody? They obey. They obey. So on what basis do we obey and keep His commandments, like John is speaking? On the basis of the new covenant that God promised and established in His beloved Son. We have a new covenant basis for this obedience. We also, on the basis of what? The perfect obedience of Christ. Because you and I can sit here and think, well, good grief, I don't obey all the time. I'm in that club. I don't obey all the time. I do things I wish I didn't do. I say things I wish I shouldn't say. Think things I should have never thought. I want to obey, and sometimes, guess what? I just don't. You? Well, what do you do with that? I thought we had new hearts, preacher. I thought we had the Spirit of God in us. I thought that that would cause us to walk in His ways. Well, what has John said about believers who sin? Don't sin. But if you do, if anyone has sinned, what? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. We have someone with a perfect obedience that stands in our place and pleads the case of God. So when we sin, don't sin, he says in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But when you do, or if you do, what do we remember so that we don't despair? We have someone with a perfect obedience before the Father, a righteous advocate, Jesus Christ. So Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father has purchased the new covenant, the new covenant blessings, established new hearts in the Spirit of God for his people, Jew and Gentile, in Christ. The perfect obedience of Christ, the propitiation that we looked at last week, wrath-absorbing, satisfying sacrifice of Jesus Christ, perfect obedience, satisfies the standard of righteousness, satisfies the penalty of our unrighteousness. So we obey on the basis of the perfect obedience of Jesus when we are not obedient. That's how we don't despair. That's how we don't despair. Because guess what? Later on today, you'll probably sin, and me too. So how do we not despair when we sin if the only way we can have assurance that we know God is if we keep his commandments? We have a perfect obedience before the Father, who is Jesus Christ, the righteous, so that when we sin, we remember his perfect obedience, that God is well pleased. And what does he do? He pleads the sinner's case. He pleads our case. He said, that's my people that I bought. My people that I bought. They have new hearts, Father. They have the Spirit within them, Father. My obedience is on their record, Father. Even though the devil would accuse us. So obedience is promised. Obedience is possible. And obedience is progressive. That's how we can know God. That's how we can give the test and know whether or not we pass or fail. That's how we know it. Obedience is promised for a new covenant people. God says so in those prophets, through Ezekiel. New heart, my spirit, that they would walk and obey and keep my rules and ways. Obedience is promised. It's not just promised. Obedience is possible for the new covenant believer. You see, with an old heart, the person in sin and darkness without a new heart and without the Spirit of God, they're not going to obey God. They have no reason to, and they don't want to. Why? Because their heart tells them no. They don't see God as gracious and precious and holy and awesome and fearful and loving. They don't have a new heart. They don't have the Spirit of God testifying that they are sinners in need of a Savior. But oh, listen. For the new covenant believer who has been converted, who has a new heart and has the Spirit of God within them, now we can obey. We can obey. It's possible now. Because we have the Spirit of God in us, it's possible to walk and live in the truth. It's promised, it's possible, and it's progressive. You're not going to nail it every day. Or I don't. And it's very, very, very possible that there are saints here much more obedient than me. I've been walking with Jesus 60 years, and I don't come close. I mean, it's progressive obedience. It's an 80-year-old saint who's been walking with Jesus 65 years. Guess what? They should be holy. Not perfect, but they should be holy. You should look at their life and say, look how they walk like Jesus. Look how they walk like Jesus. Obedience is promised, possible, and progressive on the basis of the new covenant and perfect obedience of Jesus. For whom? Only for the one born of God with a new heart, in whom the seed and spirit of Christ abides. Only for that person. 1 John, back to our text, later in the letter, chapter 3, verses 6 and 9. Listen, he says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Verse 9 of chapter 3, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed
abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. So obedience on the basis of the new covenant, perfect obedience of Christ, for whom? For the one that the seed and spirit of God abides in with a new heart, born of God. In this person, in this kind of person, what's taking place? The love of God is being perfected. That's what he says in verse 5. Whoever keeps my word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. So it's a moral test, but there's a love test too. How do you know if someone knows God? Is the love of God being perfected in their life? How do you know if you know God? Is the love of God showing itself in your life? Are you loving God more with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you loving as Jesus loved you? You see, for the one who knows God, born of God, new heart, Spirit of God lives in them, and they're obeying. The love of God is perfected in that brother and sister. That's how we know. It's another sign. Well, what's our hope when we disobey? What's our hope when we disobey? Simply put, the gospel. Because you see, here's the gospel. The gospel is not that we obey in order to be accepted by God. It's not the gospel. That's not good news. Because you don't and I don't. Therefore, we won't be accepted. That's not good news. The good news is not we obey, therefore God accepts us. The good news is we are accepted by faith in Jesus' obedience. Therefore, we obey. We can't flip it around backwards. The way the world operates, and yours and I, our default setting is, I need to obey, God will accept me. The problem is, that goes against what the gospel says. The gospel says, we are accepted. We are accepted. Accepted how? By faith in Jesus' obeying. And because of that standing, therefore, we obey. You see, the point is assurance of knowing God based on the evidence of obeying. So here are some questions. Do you know God? How do you know that you know? You see, is it more biblical to say, I know God based on a decision I made once, or I know God based on obedience? Which is more biblical to say? Are you obeying God? Do you find yourself wanting to obey God? Or are you not obeying? And do you find yourself not really wanting to? See, these are big, weighty questions we must ask ourselves. Would someone say of you that you are one who keeps the commandments of God? Would someone say of you that that brother loves the brothers and sisters? Would someone say of you that the love of God is being perfected in you? Would someone say of you, or I, that we walk as Jesus walked? In your disobeying is your hope in the obedience of Christ? Or do you just try to do better? In your disobeying is your hope in the obedience of Christ? Or do you just try to be better? If we lovingly obey, we can be assured that we are in Him. And if we do not obey, we lose solid ground of our assurance. And you've got to do a self-examination. And nobody can give an answer on your behalf. You know God or you don't. And the assurance of that is obedience. Father, we love you. Help us, strengthen us, fill us by the Spirit. Encourage us by the Scriptures. Encourage and strengthen us through the saints, brothers and sisters, toward obedience, fully and lovingly. Help us, God. Help us to stand on solid ground for assurance, obedience. And Lord, when we disobey and when we fall short and when we don't keep your commandments, let us always, always, always hope in, cling to the perfect obedience of Jesus in our place, on our behalf. For brothers and sisters before me that may be doubting, would you deal with them? Would you deal with them? Send forth your light. Expose lies. Draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to have a time of response this morning. Michael's going to come up. I'll gladly receive you this morning, pray with you, listen to you, counsel with you. Just want you to respond accordingly. Ultimately and foremost, we must examine ourselves whether or not we know God. Not by what someone else says.